He was now just a step away from the throne, and might soon be monarch of all he surveyed. Provided that all he surveyed was trees, he sighed.
"Cut what down?"
said Lady Felmet icily.
"Oh, the trees," said the Duke. "What have trees got to do with it?" "Well, there's such a lot of them," said the Duke, with feeling. "Don't change the subject."
"Sorry, my sweet."
"What I said was, how could you have been so stupid as to let them get away? I told you that servant was far too loyal. You can't trust someone like that."
"No, my love."
"You didn't by any chance consider sending someone after them, I suppose?"
"Benson, my dear, and a couple of guards."
"Oh."
The Duchess paused. Benson, as captain of the Duke's personal bodyguard, was as efficient a killer as a psychotic mongoose. He would have been her choice. It annoyed her to be temporarily deprived of the chance to fault her husband, but she rallied quite well.
"He wouldn't have needed to go out at all if you'd only listened to me, but you never do."
"Do what, my passion?"
The Duke yawned. It had been a long night. There had been a thunderstorm of quite unnecessarily dramatic proportions, and then there had been all that messy business with the knives. It has already been mentioned that Duke Felmet was one step away from the throne. The step in question was at the top of the flight leading to the Great Hall, down which King Verence had tumbled in the dark, only to land against all the laws of probability on his own dagger. It had, however, been declared by his own physician to be a case of natural causes. Benson had gone to see the man and explained that falling down a flight of steps with a dagger in your back was a disease caused by unwise opening of the mouth. In fact, it had already been caught by several members of the king's own bodyguard who had been a little bit hard of hearing. It had been a minor epidemic. The Duke shuddered. There were details about last night that were both hazy and horrible. He tried to reassure himself that all the unpleasantness was over now, and he had a kingdom. It wasn't much of one, apparently being mainly trees, but it was a kingdom, and he had a crown, if they could only find it. Lancre Castle was built on an outcrop of rock by an architect who had heard about Gormenghast, but hadn't got the budget. He'd done his best, though, with a tiny confection of cut-price turrets, bargain basements, buttresses, crenellations, gargoyles, towers, courtyards, keeps, and dungeons. In fact, just about everything a castle needs, except maybe reasonable foundations and the kind of mortar that doesn't wash away in a light shower. The castle leaned vertiginously over the racing white water of the Lancre River, which boomed darkly 1,000 feet below. Every now and again, a few bits fell in. Small as it was, though, the castle contained 1,000 places to hide a crown. The Duchess swept out to find someone else to berate, and left Lord Felmet looking gloomily at the landscape. It started to rain. It was on this cue that there came a thunderous knocking at the castle door. It seriously disturbed the castle porter, who was playing Cripple Mr. Onion with the castle cook, and the castle's fool in the warmth of the kitchen. He growled and stood up.
"There's a knockin' without," he said.
"Without what?" said the fool.
"Without the door, idiot."
The fool gave him a worried look.
"A knockin' without a door?"
he said suspiciously.
"This isn't some kind of zen, is it?"
When the porter had grumbled off in the direction of the gatehouse, the cook pushed another farthing into the kitty and looked sharply over his cards at the fool.
"What's a zen?" he said.
The fool's bells tinkled as he sorted through his cards. Without thinking, he said,
"Oh, a subsect of the Turnwise Clatch philosophical system of some tin, noted for its simple austerity and the offer of personal tranquility and the wholeness achieved through meditation and breathing techniques. An interesting aspect is the asking of apparently nonsensical questions in order to widen the doors of perception."
"How's that again?"
said the cook suspiciously. He was on edge.